Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Homewood Casino Resort, the player's place.
Halfway home on a Wednesday. Welcome back in to Ben and Woods. Woods will be back tomorrow. He's at Disneyland celebrating Taylor's birthday with the family today. Glad he could get away. He could almost guarantee that there was going to be a Padres managerial announcement while he was gone, just by leaving. But it hasn't happened yet.
He assumed it would be yesterday, you know, right around 10:03, and then he would just have to stew in it for like 48 hours.
Yeah, until he'd miss the press conference, he'd miss everything. Well, maybe there's another force working against him, because joining us now for the rest of the program is our friend off-season, Sammy Leavitt, Padres pre- and post-game show host. And Sammy just revealed to me that he has a reason to think that the press conference and announcement will come next week. And why is that, Sammy?
That's because I'm out of town next week. Going to Hawaii for the first time. So that should be great. But I'll admit, I've been rooting very hard for this news to come out this week and have a press conference this week. But with every second it appears, that's less likely.
Yeah, we talked earlier about how you don't really want to do a Friday news dump. A manager hire is an exciting moment in an offseason that gets people talking about your team. And the last place you want to do that is like on a Friday afternoon as everyone's getting ready to go out, you know, bars, weekend plans, even the reporters. Press conferences don't go well on Friday afternoons or Saturdays. Mm-hmm. You want to do it on a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday. Have a nice little news cycle for a few days with different stories. So, yeah, Thursday announcement for a Friday news conference is the absolute latest you could do.
Although, if you remember two years ago, I was talking about this with Adam when we were trying to determine plans on when they would announce this and when there might be a press conference. If you remember a couple of years ago, Mike Schilt, they had the press conference the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. And I remember at the time thinking, man, like on the Monday, and I don't think it had been announced yet, like, man, is this going to happen after Thanksgiving? Because at this point, you're getting down to the wire of, you can't really do a press conference Wednesday. It feels like Tuesday
is
the last day.
And everything. So.
Yeah, we're not quite there yet. But I'll tell you what, and we were talking about it during the break just now, the Don Mattingly story is interesting. That definitely makes you raise your eyebrows, because it would appear kind of unusual that a guy like that would voluntarily leave what I would say is a premier bench coach job to take a lateral move, unless there is something cooking somewhere else.
Yeah, he his contract was up, but I've got to imagine the Blue Jays would have happily,
I would think,
brought him back coming off the success, you know, one of 2 inches away from winning a World Series. Like, let's roll it back with the same coaching staff. So the fact that he's walking away voluntarily does lead you to believe that something is cooking in the Don Mattingly universe. Is it with the Padres?
Yeah.
I don't really have any idea at all. But there are only two jobs, at least managerial jobs, that are out there right now, and that's Padres and the Colorado Rockies.
Yeah, and look, I know people like to, you know, get on the Rockies, and rightfully so, but it is one of 30 major league jobs. They are going to have a new president of baseball operations, general manager. I know there's been a lot of stuff going on there about them interviewing people, and then everybody's out, and then they're talking to Adam Ottavino about it, who's never had a front office job.
I thought he was still playing.
Yeah, he's never had a front office job in his life. So I know it's easy to...
He like started 38 games for the Rockies this year. I would have said, oh, yeah, Adam Ottavino. Yeah, he's still there, right?
You can make fun of the Rockies, but it is a managerial job.
I can and I will make fun of the Rockies.
Yeah, of course. But we'll see. I mean, you know, look, it has been, I think, to me, interesting that there has not been a ton of reporting or rumblings on what is going on. We heard about that long interview with Albert Pujols. We've heard about some of the other names that have interviewed, you know, Nick Hundley and Ruben Abel. It sounds like are the other two that are really being focused on. But I find it really interesting that we haven't heard much. So it does make your antenna go up a little bit when you hear this Don Mattingly story.
Padres have gotten better over the years at sealing up the leaks that mm-hmm. come out, the informational leaks. Now, with Albert Pujols, he's a very famous person and is easily spotted by yeah. people around.
And probably talks to a lot of people.
And, yeah. and also has his own orbit, you know. Agents,
he was literally on the MLB Network yeah. desk for World Series coverage.
Yeah. Disappeared for a day
when they interviewed
and then came
him.
Back. I mean, you can't really hide that news about Albert Pujols. We all know Ruben Niebla pretty well, so you know that news that he's is going to kind of get out. And Nick Hundley has deep ties here in San Diego. So, but any other candidate, not a single word really about mm-mm. an interview or. What you know stage of the process they're at. So they've plugged any leaks from the front office pretty well at Petco Park yeah. in the last few years.
Yeah, it's they've done a good job. And it was kind of that way with the Mike Schilt hiring too a couple of years ago. And obviously, you know, when Bob Melvin left and all that went down. So I'm with you.
Bob Melvin threw us all for a loop.
Yeah,
no
absolutely.
One saw that one coming. No. And I have to think that there's still a mystery candidate out
yeah.
there, whether it be Don Mattingly or someone else. They've got... I said in the first half of the show, Sammy, they have to interview guys with managerial experience. They aren't only interviewing first-time managers
yeah.
to take over the Padres. They may hire a first-time manager, but there's no way they're not at least considering some guys with big league managerial experience
yeah.
for this job. The last two that they hired had big league managerial experience. Why wouldn't they at least look that direction again mm-hmm. this time?
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think Don is somebody that's really, really, really respected. I mean, look, he did have winning teams with the Dodgers. Now, that was a team that had a very high payroll for that time. And I don't know if I'd have to go look into it a little bit more. I don't know if the ending was sour in LA, but it was a little weird because he had 90 plus win teams before he got let go. And then he goes to Miami. And I you know, how do you even judge that with the Marlins? I mean, whatever, but it's interesting. It is. And we shall see. I would have thought you would have had a press conference by the end of this week based on how it was looking, but we shall see.
We can do a deeper dive later.
Yeah.
I have to ask you though, first time to Hawaii. Now,
yes.
a little different going from the East Coast to Hawaii rather than the West Coast. It's an extra 5 hours of flying. When you took assuming there was at least a tropical vacation or two in your life
there was,
growing
yes.
up, where do you go on the East Coast?
We would go... So. It took us a while until I think I was like late middle school to start going on the tropical vacations. We did Arizona. We did California. I don't think we came down to San Diego. We were more in Orange County, like Newport, Laguna Beach, and we did L.A. And then we went to, I remember we went to Playa del Carmen in Mexico, which is near Cancun.
Yeah.
A couple of times. We went to Grand Cayman a couple of times. We went to Turks and Caicos. A couple of times. Where else? Turks
Sorry,
and
I'm not
Caicos,
feeling bad
Grand
for you.
No, they're great.
Yeah,
and we went on a cruise once. Yeah, so you can, you know, you do Mexico, that side of Mexico. You can do the Caribbean. We went to the Dominican Republic 1 year. So, yeah, I was very, very lucky. I got a very nice tour of Caribbean vacations over the years.
Now, it's very different. Now, Paul, what tropical vacations have you been on?
Ooh. I have not traveled as much.
I know you haven't. That's why I'm wondering if you've done
tropical,
Mexico. Have you done Caribbian, Hawaii?
I've done like Ensenada, like
drive down
like
to Mexico
Baja a little bit. I've been to Belize.
Belize,
and that was a lot of fun. Beautiful. And that's probably it as far as like the tropical.
Wow.
I haven't been to Hawaii. Haven't been to Cancun.
Spring break.
Yeah.
You didn't do with the.
Yeah.
The boys at San Diego State,
we did,
big spring
Springs,
break trick.
A
Palm
times,
Springs.
Okay. Yeah.
I never did spring break. That was not my thing.
No, neither. Me.
It's spring break.
Yeah, Sammy and I weren't partying.
No.
It's a little bit different when you go to school at San Diego State.
Yeah.
Spring break is just kind of always, it's always spring break.
Right.
A little bit.
Right.
People come to San Diego for spring break.
Right.
Spring break and bachelor parties. I can't really get into. I have a hard time getting into the concept of bachelor parties.
Yeah, mine have been very tame.
I would imagine
that
I've
attended for sure.
I would imagine so.
And then you were just in New York back in the
I was.
Back at home.
Yeah, we're going all over the place. It was good. Saw my parents, and it's always good to be back there and catch up with my friends, have a bagel, have a slice of pizza. So it was good. It's that time of year for me to to get home and do some traveling.
Now, in Hawaii, are you staying at a hotel, Airbnb? What's the
hotels.
Plan?
Hotels.
Hotel?
Yes.
Like Waikiki?
I think that's part of it. And then we're doing, I was very minimal on the planning of it.
You're just along for the ride.
Yeah, because my brother and his girlfriend are going, and they've been there, so they're more in on it.
They'll tell you where to stay.
Yeah, they were also
go.
Planning yeah. it during the baseball season, so I was kind of out on the planning. But I know it is Oahu, and I know we are staying in two separate places. I believe one of them is Waikiki. Yes.
Okay.
But I will have more info after I go.
And as Paulie pointed out, you'll be there maybe for the Aztecs game on Saturday night.
That's why you're going out there.
Don't know if that's part of your vacation planning, but you know, something big happened, you could be
Aztecs
there on
good.
The scene for us.
I
yeah,
mean, big, Aztecs are playing
big
well.
Game against Hawaii on Saturday night.
Is that, now I admittedly don't follow Aztec football super, super, super closely. Is that a big game? It's, for San Diego State?
It's a fairly big game because Hawaii is currently, I think, tied for third in the Mountain West. The Aztecs are first, so
it's big in the sense that you don't want to lose it.
And the Aztecs' one loss was to who?
Washington State,
okay.
Out of conference. So they're 4-0 in the Mountain West. Boise State is 4-1. And then Fresno State, Hawaii, and New Mexico are all 3-2.
Okay.
So the top two teams get to the conference championship. So if you beat Hawaii, you've basically knocked them out, and you are narrowing your path to get – or widening your path to get to the conference championship game and host the conference championship game. Hawaii is always one of the toughest places to go win, though, because of the travel. And you play at a weird time. It's usually like middle of the night where you're from. And they play, 6 o'clock in Hawaii, but like 8 or 9 o'clock in San Diego, I think. So it's always a tricky game for any team to have to go on the road to play in Hawaii.
Interesting. Yeah. What would San Diego State have to do to make the college football playoff?
Well, they have to win all their games.
They have to win all their games.
And that doesn't,
need a lot of help.
Yeah, that doesn't even come close. Undefeated in convincing fashion.
Right.
So that would help, but that still honestly would not get them into the college football playoff. It would require a lot of chaos in like the American Athletic Conference where North Texas and Memphis and Navy all kind of beat up on each other,
right.
And they ended up with two or three losses each, and then San Diego State was sitting there as like the only Group of Five champion with one loss,
right.
Riding a 12 game winning streak at the end, and you're going like, and it's still, they'd go like, but still, Memphis with three losses might be better than San Diego State with one loss because the competition, San Diego State just hasn't really played anyone. Cal and Washington State are the only, and Washington State isn't a big school, and they lost to them. So, they didn't build their resume up very well in the offseason.
My alma mater, Northwestern, is playing at USC, I believe, tomorrow night, which I am not going to. Seemed like a long way to go, and I'm not that into I wasn't that committed to Northwestern football to head up there, but
it's as close as they're going to get.
Do you ever broadcast any football games?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. For WNUR, student radio station. Yes, a lot.
Nice.
So they'd have a student broadcast and like a regular
WGN radio in Chicago, which was always interesting because that was a big station and felt very big for Northwestern
football.
It
does, yeah.
Sure.
But they were on WGN forever, and then they would, have the student radio broadcast.
Because that's the Cubs station during baseball season.
It was.
It's not anymore.
I think they're on
their own network, don't they?
670 The Score.
Oh.
Which I think it's an Odyssey station, sister station.
Yeah,
some would call it.
They are.
So I think they're on there now, but they were on WGN forever.
Bulls, Bears. I mean, that's a lot.
WGN
of sports in
still
that
around?
Town.
Well, we're talking about WGN the radio. Yes, there's WGN radio. Obviously, does
TV
the TV
still
station
the
still
station,
exist?
TV the station.
I think it does in
the
Chicago.
Cubs are marquee sports network now.
Yeah, I think it does in Chicago. I'm almost positive there is still a WGN TV in Chicago now. I don't know if they're an affiliate of a network. Like, I don't know if they're an ABC, NBC. I don't
think
so.
They were always an independent.
I think they're independent.
It was one of the two channels other than the networks you could get when I was growing up.
So that'd be like the equivalent of like KUSI.
TBS and WGN. We're like, hey, I can watch Chicago stuff.
Every kid watched a lot of Cubs games.
Right.
Because everybody had WGN.
I'm almost positive it's still a pretty major TV channel in Chicago.
I think it's still a player.
Yeah, but independent.
We've got Sammy in studio. Before we get to, and we'll get his thoughts on our Padres smorgasbord contract projections coming up as well. Before that, though, it's Thursday, Throwback Thursday, which means we're going to play a game of Real or Fake. Chance to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas to see Sammy Hagar. If you'd like to be our contestant, you can call in now, 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Game of Real or Fake coming up next year on Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. First, let me ask Sammy, do you have a will, Sammy? Do you have one yet?
No.
Will or trust?
I do not.
I will excuse you. You're still a very young man.
Yes.
Unattached, but don't let it go too long.
You can't let it go too long.
Before you go to trustandwill.com.
Never too early.
It's never too early. It can be too late, but it's never too early to get your affairs in order. Because once you do, you've got the peace of mind that you don't really have to think about it anymore. And Trust and Will makes it so simple. It's an online process. It takes less than an hour, essentially. You just answer some online questions. You can get a will, or you can even get a trust, which can help keep your family out of probate court after you're gone. The probate court is bad. It's long. It's expensive for your family. They might not have access to your assets, like your property, your 401k, for months and months and months while these things are decided in an impersonal courtroom setting. But if you have a trust, they can have access right away. Everything's already taken care of for them before you're even gone, which is what Trust and Will does. So go to trustandwill.com. Answer all the questions, and then use the code RADIO20 at checkout. You're going to get 20% off your will or your trust simply by using that code at checkout. They'll mail it to you. Then you put it into a filing cabinet, a safe somewhere. Let your family know. Have that peace of mind that you've gotten it done, and you don't need to worry about it anymore by going to trustandwill.com. Use code RADIO20 at checkout at trustandwill.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, guess I'm Ben Woods here on the David P. Shapiro Fan Hotline. David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys, helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. Well, technically, that's not true. Sammy is a guest to the program, and he is just sitting right here in front of me. It's good to have you in, Sam.
It's great to be here. By the way, I was thinking during the break with Woodsy at Disneyland. Speaking of places I'm going, I have been, I haven't been. I've never been to Disneyland.
Never?
Never. Oh. I've been to Disney World in Florida a couple of times.
I went once to Disney World. I preferred Disneyland.
Interesting. But Disney World is a lot
bigger. Disneyland's
okay.
Better.
Is bigger always better?
Is bigger is not always better.
No, it's not.
Plus, there's no Matterhorn at Disney World, but there is at Disneyland.
Interesting.
Although I saw that Taylor didn't want to ride the Matterhorn.
No.
Because he didn't want someone to hit him with a horn, apparently.
Now, do they have Space Mountain at Disneyland?
Yeah.
They do have Space Mountain at Disneyland.
I do like Space Mountain. So at some point, we'll see. Maybe before spring training.
Maybe that's who I need to go with. See, I said I can't go alone because that's creepy, but maybe Sammy and I can go to Disneyland together. At some point.
Either way, whether you take Taylor or Sammy, I want to document all
still
of this.
Still document it. All right, Sammy, it's Throwback Thursday. We got a contestant on the line. Let's get to it. It is time to play Real or Fake.
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods.
You can go plow through another donut.
It's time for Real or Fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
The people is Clinton is our contestant in this case. Hello, Clinton. How are you?
Hey, what up, guys? I'm good.
You've got Sammy to help you out. You are the phone-a-friend over there. If
got
Clinton
it.
Ever needs any advice on any of these real or fake categories, it is brought to you by Bay Alarm. Security and fire alarms for every business. We got you. And if you get 4 out of 7 correct, Clinton, you will qualify for our grand prize monthly drawing. Trip for two to see Sammy Hagar in Las Vegas, including 2 tickets to his March 20th show, a two-night stay at the Park MGM, and a $100 gas card. You can check out Sammy's residency at the Dolby Live at Park MGM by going to Ticketmaster.com. So, we had a bunch of fun with a special game on Monday involving college basketball players, current college basketball players with some unusual names. And I actually have a few left over, so I thought we'd revisit that one more time. So, Clinton, I'm going to give you a name.
Oh, boy.
You tell me if it is a real college basketball player or it's a fake I've thrown in to fool you. I don't know if Sammy knows any of these, but he's more than...
Did you happen to hear our game on Monday when we did this?
I heard part of it, yeah. I clip in and out sometimes.
So. Okay. All right, so good luck. Here we go. Round number one. Joey Tribbiani, real or fake college basketball player?
That's big time fake.
That is fake. Joey from Friends.
Yeah.
All right, one for you. You need
You didn't even really try
more.
On that
Didn't
one.
Even try. It was very easy. All right, King Prince. King Prince, real or fake?
That's real.
That one is fake.
All right. I don't know my college basketball.
That's right. No one knows any of these guys.
You're not going to know any of these guys.
All right, that's one and one. We go to round number three. Wiggy Ball, real or fake?
The last name is what now?
Wiggy Ball, real or fake?
Ball. Oh, gosh. I'm going to say real again.
And you'd be right. I don't think he's related to Lonzo and LaMelo, but he is a guard for Louisiana Monroe, Wiggy Ball. All right, that's two. You're halfway home. Let's go to round number four. Dr. Bradley.
Dr. Bradley?
Dr. Bradley. Stat. To the ER stat. Dr. Bradley.
Why not? Yes, let's do it. I can see a person have a doctorate and be in college basketball.
And you would be correct. Guard from Bethune-Cookman.
Yeah. Nice. You're correct, but it's not like he's graduated with a doctorate and he's a doctor. His name is D-O-C-T-O-R.
No. Yeah, he's Dr.
Dr. Bradley.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right, round number five. Chandler Bing. Real or fake, Clinton?
That's big time fake.
That is absolutely real. He's actually a really good player. He's a forward for Vanderbilt.
What?
No way. Somebody named a kid after Chandler Bing?
I know.
So Joey Tribbiani.
I threw in Joey Tribbiani to make the Chandler Bing thing work a little bit later.
That's, good job on that.
That's called Ben playing the long con on real or fake. But don't worry. You're still just one away from the win here.
Oh, phew.
Round number six. Oscar Myers. Real or fake?
Oh gosh! You know, after the last one, I'm scared. All right, let's go to this new real.
No, that one's fake.
Oh gosh, I'm so bad at this.
All right, so it's 3-3. So it's coming down to the last one here.
You never know with parents and their name and their kids.
I know it's tough. That's why it's real or fake. All right, final one, round number seven for the win.
Okay.
Pepsi Richardson. Real or fake?
Oh gosh.
You haven't asked Sammy yet. I don't know. He doesn't look that confident over there.
I'm going to go with you, Sammy. We're going to win this together.
Pepsi Richardson. I mean,
poker face here. Woods can sometimes read me. I don't know if Sammy can.
I say real. Somebody's got to like Pepsi that much.
Clinton, it's up to you.
Pepsi Richardson.
Pepsi Richardson. Real or fake? You don't have to go with Sammy.
Well, the way you guys are saying it right now, I'm going to say fake.
Oh! Did I talk you out of it?
Yeah.
Very smart, because that's fake!
Oh, my God.
Clinton, congratulations. You have
That's why you don't listen to me.
Today's right game now. Of Real or Fake. Hang on the line. Paulie will get your information, put you into the drawing for Sammy Hagar and Las Vegas. Congratulations.
Chandler Bing.
He's actually a pretty good player, I believe, for Vanderbilt.
Speaking of Chandler Bing, I can't stand Friends.
What?
Not my thing, no. Seinfeld, love.
You can't stand the whole... Now, everyone has the friend that they like and the friend that they don't like.
I
just never liked the show.
No.
Never got into it.
Like, Ross annoyed me the whole show.
The Gellers both
Joey
sucked.
Wasn't my favorite. Chandler was hilarious.
Chandler and Phoebe were my two favorites.
Phoebe was pretty good.
I like
good.
Phoebe.
Monica was annoying. I was okay with Rachel.
Yeah.
I just saw Jennifer Aniston. She's dating somebody new.
I know.
She saw that too.
I did.
Wow.
Woods and I were talking about it yesterday and we looked up. How old do you think Jennifer Aniston is?
58.
She is 56 and she looks fantastic for 56. She looks fantastic for 36, honestly.
Yeah.
All right. Again, congratulations, Clinton. You have qualified for Sammy Hagar. We will come back. Now, I haven't talked to Sammy since the World Series ended.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's been a couple of weeks. I saw an unbelievable breakdown, not of the Isaiah Kiner-Falefa leadoff. That's been done to death. But a different play that may have cost the Blue Jays the World Series. I want to get your thoughts on it. Coming up next with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. First, I get to tell you about SDFatLoss.com. SDFatLoss is how I lost 40 pounds in 60 days. And while that sounds pretty amazing, it's actually what you can expect if you do the program yourself. A pound of fat per day, 10 to 20% of your body weight in just 60 days. That means if you, you know, weigh 200 pounds, you can expect to lose between 20 and 40 pounds in 60 days. If that sounds good, set up your free consultation by going to sdfatloss.com. They will explain how the program works, how you can jumpstart your metabolism and lose weight by eating real foods like chicken and steak. I ate a lot of that during my 2 months, and I lost the weight fast. No bars or shakes to buy, no prepackaged meals. It's just real food from the grocery store, from restaurants. You can even eat out and still lose the weight. No exercise necessary, and no injections with the potential harmful side effects. This is just a real way to lose weight, and that makes it so sustainable that you keep the weight off after you're done, which I have now for 2.5 years. Why lose the weight if you're just going to gain it right back? So set up your free consultation by going to sdfatloss.com today. Go to sdfatloss.com. Results may vary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Took about a week, but might have been the best wrap-up of Game 7 of the World Series I've seen so far.
Oh, is this the John Boy?
No, this is Tom Verducci at SportsIllustrated.com, and there was one play in particular that I hadn't even really thought about that may have absolutely cost the Toronto Blue Jays the World Series, and it wasn't the Isaiah Kiner Falefa lack of a leadoff, which is part of the story, of course. But I want to get Sammy's thoughts on this as well. First, though, this hour on Ben and Woods is brought to you by IHOP, introducing the IHOP value menu, where all your breakfast faves are just $6 each every day. Where else can you get a big filling sit-down breakfast for only $6? Go to your happy plates with the $6 IHOP value menu available every day at IHOP. $7 in some locations.
Can I take a... It's from Game 7?
Yeah.
Let me try to guess. Okay. So it's not the play at home plate.
It's not the play at home plate, which of course was the bottom of the ninth. So if you'll remember, and I had kind of forgotten about this, but after Will Smith's home run in the top of the 11th inning,
yeah,
the Blue Jays still had their at bat, and they got the leadoff double from Vladimir Guerrero Jr. So they had the tying run out at second base, and then they had Isaiah Kiner-Falefa lay down a bunt to get him over to third.
Right.
I don't have a huge problem with that, playing for the tie in that situation, knowing IKF's not much of a hitter, and you want the run to score with an out potentially from third base. So at that point, Mark Pryor, and this is what Tom Verducci wrote about, Mark Pryor goes out to the mound to visit Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who's in relief, orders Yamamoto pitch around Addison Barger.
Right.
Which he did. He didn't throw him even close to a strike, of course, to get to a slower runner in Alejandro Kirk, potentially setting up a double play grounder.
And Barger, who had a great series.
Yamamoto, who throws a lot of, you know, sinkers, ground balls, gets a lot of ground balls. Kirk hits into twice as many double plays as your average guy because he's not that fast and he makes a lot of contact. So that was great strategy by the Dodgers to do that. What Tom Verducci posited was the Blue Jays should have countered by having Addison Barger, a plus runner, steal on the first pitch. Or at least fake stealing and see what the Dodgers were going to do. Because the Dodgers might not have even risked throwing down or even sending someone to cover because Alejandro Kirk makes good contact. And if you vacate one of the positions in the middle of the infield to cover second base, you may have just cost yourself the entire World Series. Because if he hits a ground ball and it turns into a hit and run, you've tied the game and you've got first and third and still one out with a chance to win the game. But in that situation, Barger didn't even threaten going. He was pretty close to the base, was afraid of not getting, picked off or something like that. So they did not be bold and put their runner in motion in that situation where that might have saved them from the double play.
Yeah.
Hits that grounder. If he's running on that play, you can't turn the double play. The runner scores from third. You got a tie game at least. And you probably have the winning run out at second base with two outs and a chance to win it with a single. But because they went conservative, didn't send the runner, ends up with the double play, and the series is over. And I hadn't even thought about that one. Of course, you think a ton about the leadoff with IKF at third base.
Did Kirk swing at the first pitch?
It was not the first pitch.
Wow.
Barger just stood there on the first pitch.
Yeah.
Just stood there on the first pitch. Didn't do anything. And then the Dodgers felt pretty comfortable. Okay, he's not going.
Well, it's a really good point because I think when you look back on it and you're not in the heat of the moment, obviously in that spot with Kirk up, you are trying to do everything you can to stay out of the double play. Right. And they didn't. So it's a good point. Very good breakdown.
Very interesting. And that's one of the things you love about baseball. You think you know the sport pretty well. You've watched it your whole life. And then, all of a sudden there's just one more little next level bit. And it's one of the things truly that I believe Mike Shildt was very, very good at. Like he would have thought of that, as if he was the manager in that situation. Those are the tiny things that I think he excelled at as skipper. Obviously, had his strengths and shortcomings, as everyone does. But I do believe that one of his strengths were those tiny little advantages that you find that you can get in a situation. They had video now of IKF and the third base coach for the Blue Jays, like even drawing a line, like here's how far I want you to get off. Mm. You can complain he should have been further off. He was following the instructions of his coach in that situation, not risking getting doubled off at third.
And I also think that if Rojas doesn't, basically fall backwards and he's way off balance, that's a very, very easy play at home plate. The only reason it was as close as it was is because Rojas kind of fell off balance, had to make the throw falling backwards. I mean, it's not – I don't view that play as Kiner Falefa costing them a run in a World Series win. It was only as close as it was because of the way Rojas had to field the ball.
That's very true. That's very true.
By the way, and an interesting thing to think about, not so much on the IKF lead, it was a really good job by the home plate umpire, and I don't remember who it was now.
Jordan Baker was the game seven home plate umpire, and he did a really good job.
Great job.
Whole game.
Imagine had he ruled safe, Blue Jays score, they win the World Series,
and then you have to
overturn it.
Hadn't thought of it like that necessarily.
It's a great call. It's one of the best calls ever.
Yeah,
we were all thinking.
I mean, even the other way. Even if he's safe and he calls him out, do you want your World Series decided on a replay overturn? That would have been crazy as well.
It was pretty clear that he was in fact out. But there was the moment where you knew it was going to get reviewed because just why not?
Yeah,
and you're just thinking to yourself, there's no way, right? There's no way the World Series can come to an end on a review reversal.
Yeah.
We've
all been, and when they introduced replay, and I think it's going to be the same thing with the ABS, we all sort of have waited for that major playoff moment to get decided by replay in a really weird way. And I don't know that we've quite had it, but it's probably going to happen at some point, and it almost happened in Game 7.
The Vapors in our chat says, should have had a bigger leadoff and ran through home as opposed to sliding. I've heard that argument made as well.
Hard in the moment to
Verducci kind of addresses that and goes, is it true? Can you get there faster? Yes. Is it also something you've ever seen anyone do in the history of baseball?
Yeah, it's a hard ask.
You're asking someone to have just an otherworldly sense of what's going on in an absolutely pressure-packed, critical situation. It's hard to ding Isaiah Kiner-Falefa for sliding in that situation. The other point, actually, he made a few of them, but the catch that Andy Pa has made to save the World Series there in the ninth inning was pretty incredible in that he, you know, they have all of the metrics of how fast, you know, runners you go out there. And you gave Dave Roberts so much credit for putting Andy Páez out there for defensive purposes. Verducci pointed out that Tommy Edman is actually faster in terms of sprint speed than Andy Páez. So technically, he actually cost himself a little bit of speed there by putting Páez out in the outfield in that situation, and he had to sprint all out. But according to the metrics, Andy Páez ran faster than he has basically ever run in his life to track down that ball. He was like a full like mile per hour faster than what his normal top speed is in the outfield in getting to that catch that was over Kike's head and, you know, had no chance to get it. If he doesn't make that catch, season over, World Series over. But he added a little adrenaline, whatever it was, and still was able to make the catch. Imagine sprinting as fast as you possibly humanly can and then making a tough catch in which you're colliding with your teammate as you're reaching up, backhanding, and intertwined with him. I can't tell you how great that play was by Andy Páez. That would have been a home run at Fenway. I think it would have been a home run at Wrigley Field, a couple of ballparks. That ball was hit really, really well.
Well, the other aspect of Páez going in that I thought was part of it was Edman, he had dealt with the ankle injury for a while. So I thought that was probably part of it as well, that they wanted I don't know that Edman was ever moving 100% following that ankle injury. So look, it worked out. What's so crazy about that finish, there were so many moments for the Blue Jays. Had it just gone an inch or two differently, they win the World Series, whether it's the play at home, whether it's the play in left center with Páez and Kike Hernandez. If Jeff Hoffman makes a slightly better pitch to Rojas, I still to this day I don't know how, if you're a Blue Jays fan, you're managing through being that close.
All right, we got Sammy Levin in studio. We're going to check traffic before the top of the hour here. We just got a gnarly update on the story that was breaking earlier, the death of Dallas Cowboys 24-year-old defensive end Marshawn Kneeland. And what actually happened here, we'll let you know coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan. So this update just coming in on the tragic story of the death of Cowboys defensive end Marshawn Kneeland has taken a dark turn. According to, this is an ABC report, Marshawn Kneeland was found dead of a self-inflicted gunshot wound following a police chase last night, according to the Texas Department of Public Safety. Troopers attempted to pull over Kneeland following an alleged traffic violation on Dallas North Tollway around 10:30 p.m. Kneeland allegedly refused to stop. Troopers pursued the vehicle until losing sight of the vehicle and stopping the chase. The vehicle was later found abandoned after a crash on the Dallas Parkway. Kneeland was found dead in the immediate area with a self-inflicted gunshot wound. That is
horrible.
That is really, really awful.
Damn.
So he was trying to pull him over. He went to let him on a police chase. He actually got away, but then got into a crash and took his own life, apparently. This is definitely a story that we haven't heard the end of in the NFL.
Terrible.
And just an incredible tragedy. Meanwhile, completely different topic, and I guess I should bring this up. I have no idea as to the validity or the credibility.
Well,
Of this tweet, but it is from someone who is not a nobody.
Yeah, I don't totally know about this guy, but he's like somebody in college football world, I think.
His name is Matt Jones. He is the host of Kentucky Sports Radio.
An
NFL preview show on ESPN Radio.
He has a Wikipedia page.
He is somebody.
Has 330,000 followers.
Yeah.
He just tweeted. And again, I have no idea how true this is.
If you don't know what we're talking, if you haven't seen this yet, you probably haven't.
It says, random person just texted me, quote, Craig Stammen is the new Padres manager. So I'm going to break that, even though I don't know who that is. He continues, if Craig Stammen, who I reiterate, I did not know existed until moments ago, is not the new Padres manager, I will go back to having zero Padres info and scoop. Okay. I mean, that's odd. Now, Craig Stammen has been serving as a assistant to A.J. Preller in the Padres front office and is a very well-liked and respected member of the Padres organization. Smart guy. Not a name that we had ever heard brought up as a potential managerial candidate for the San Diego Padres. He is originally from Ohio area, which is near Kentucky. So I don't know if that has anything to do with who might be texting a Kentucky sports reporter about something like that.
I'm looking at Matt Jones's Wikipedia, and I'm like, what connections does he have to, like, Texas? A.J. Preller? Like, I don't know.
If the Padres were interviewing and interested in people currently inside the organization, whether it be, let's say, an A.J. Ellis, we obviously know Ruben and others as well. I mean, I can see a world where Craig Stammen would get an interview.
100%.
It's not so completely bonkers.
I don't think so.
I can totally dismiss this.
It's a very odd.
If he said Eric Hosmer is returning to baseball, right, he's going to manage the Padres, I would be like, okay, that's obviously, that is not happening.
Now,
Craig Stammen's the guy where you're like, everyone has said he's going to be a coach at some point if he wants it. Nobody thinks that he couldn't do that job, and I don't know what his aspirations are.
I could see Craig Stammen, based on how well-respected he is and the guy he is, I could definitely see Craig being a manager one day.
He was perhaps the most respected player in that Padres clubhouse, even though he was really just a mop-up bullpen guy for the most part. Everybody just loved Craig Stammen.
Like the definition of a glue guy.
My question is, who is texting Matt
That's
Jones
what I want
this?
To know,
is
too.
This a random guy, or is this somebody legitimate that he would actually tweet it?
It feels like it's one of those, you know, degrees of separation thing, maybe. Like, hey, someone who knows Craig Stammen also knows Matt Jones and just said, I just heard this news. I'm going to tell my friend in the media what I just heard.
I think it's pretty unlikely that this
is true. Does feel somewhat unlikely.
But the guy, Craig Stammen, you could see managing one day. That's
again,
not crazy.
Again.
Well, if this Matt Jones is, in fact, a legitimate media member, like, he has nothing to... He's not trying to troll.
Be the oddest breaking news of all time. We'll come back next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.